You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
We're going to be jumping back into the book of Proverbs today in our series called Buzzer Beater, where we're learning from the book of Proverbs on how to make the right call at the right time. We all kind of know what it looks like, and we even talked about one of these moments last week, but we all know what it looks like to choke in those important moments in life. Last week, we talked about how we could have handled our anger better in certain moments, or in past weeks, we've talked about how we could have chosen to not gossip, or we could have had more self-control in a certain moment, and we still have a few more weeks talking about the different things that the book of Proverbs is just lending us some wisdom. But thankfully, Proverbs in God's word is full of wisdom, and it teaches us how to kind of navigate through these difficult situations in life in ways that are going to honor God and bless others and lead us to abundant life. So as you guys hear every week, bring your Bible. I know a lot of you guys had it up earlier for candy, but I hope you have it open in a second while we're going through God's word together. And we encourage you guys to bring a friend every Wednesday. But today we're going to be talking about really exciting stuff for all of you guys. We're going to be talking about money. Who here already has a job? That's actually a lot, although I think they might be some adult hands, but we're going to be talking about money, but not only money, we're going to be talking about how we could be generous, but also at times how we could maybe unfortunately be greedy, and how both of these things don't only apply to money. They apply to our time, the skills and talents that God has gifted us with, and even just the possessions that we have. And our sermon today, to go along with the sports theme, it is called The Fully Guaranteed Contract. And I have a picture for all of you guys. I feel like you guys are going to be upset too, because it was talking about the very first question. And if you see on the picture, it doesn't have Juan Soto's contract on there. But I promise, you know, as of 2023, I should have got a newer one, but as of more recently, Juan Soto would be the very first one. But these are all of the biggest contracts in sports history as of right now. And, you know, we got Otani and Messi, Mahomes, all these different guys. And most of you, you know a lot of these people up here. But I'll say, you know, maybe one, but pretty much all of us are never going to see that amount of money, right? I get happy over like $20. I don't know about you guys, but like a crisp $20 bill, you know, like that's like Chipotle right there, something. That's pretty darn good to me. But while we're learning from the book of Proverbs tonight on what it teaches us about money, I think a big thing for us to mention is that it's not necessarily having a lot of money is a bad thing, but it's instead our relationship with money, and that's kind of what determines if it's a good or a bad thing or not. And so I know a lot of people, I would say, fall into the category of like having a lot of money. But it's more about how we could be wise and generous with that money. So I want you guys to raise your hand if you know who Jimmy Donaldson is. Yeah? I feel like more people would know him by Mr. Beast. You know, everyone knows who Mr. Beast is, right? But Jimmy Donaldson, a.k.a. Mr. Beast, he's someone who I would say has a lot of money. He falls into that category, right? But he is also someone who has gone out and paid for over 1,000 people's surgeries to cure blindness. You guys often see videos of him giving out cars or houses or other random things to people that he doesn't even know. And him and, I believe, I don't know if they're married, but him and his wife or his fiance had started a foundation as well that's focused on helping those that are hungry or homeless. And so this is someone who I would say is in that category of they have a lot of money, but he's using it wisely and generously. So it's not necessarily the amount of money that's a good or a bad thing, but knowing that, I think it leads us to the question of, okay, then how should we think about money? And the book of Proverbs gives us, I think, four really key things that we should think about money, and we're going to jump into the first one. So it's on your guys' note sheets if you have them, but the very first point is that wisdom and character are greater than wealth. And we see this to be true. We see wisdom and character are greater than wealth in Proverbs chapter 28. So we could jump there. Proverbs chapter 28, and it's verse 6. Like we said last week, Proverbs is about like in the middle of your Bible. But if you can't find it, you guys can turn to one of the people next to you or a leader. And if they can't find it, then there's also a really nice thing at the beginning that tells you what page the book of Proverbs is on. But Proverbs chapter 28, verse 6, it says, "Better the poor whose walk is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse." And God's holy word is saying that we can have all the money in the world, but the Lord only looks at our heart. He looks at our character. He doesn't care about the size of our wallets or our bank accounts. He simply only cares about our hearts and how we're using what he's given us to love those around us and to love him. And I want to share a story with all of you guys. It's a little bit about me and just some background on me, but I hope that this story helps you guys get like a real tangible idea behind what the book of Proverbs is trying to teach us. But when I was in college, a little bit older than all of you guys, I went to school to study financial planning. And after school, I became a financial advisor. And basically, a financial advisor's job is like, see someone's financial situation, listen to their goals, and somehow get those things to align together. And part of the reason why I wanted to become a financial advisor when I was in college is because they make a lot of money. I'm just going to be honest. That's one of the perks of being a financial advisor. And I vividly remember this conversation that I was having with my boss. And we had kind of looked at, you get like these numbers every week. We don't need to go into it, but you guys could think sports terms. It would have been like my batting average, how many home runs I've hit, my RBIs, all the stuff that tells you how good a player is. So we were looking at my numbers, and there we were saying, all right, how good is Andrew at being a financial advisor? And I really remember this because my boss had told me at 23 years old, she said, based off of your numbers, by the time you're 28, you will have made $1 million that year. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've never even seen that much money or thought of that much money. I wouldn't even know what to do with that much money. And it really stood out to me because of the amount. And I was almost a little bit like, oh, I finally think I can get what I wanted. But I remember around that same time, I took a look around me, like the other people in my office that I spend a lot of time with that were probably already in that category. They were, or close to that category. And, you know, they had like all the cars. They had the really nice house up on the hill and, you know, season tickets to every team in LA. Like they had, if you could think it, they had it. And I also took a look around and I thought, man, if money was really going to satisfy me, it was really going to fulfill me, then why do I look around and I don't see that in the people that I would think already had it, right? To me, they had everything already, but to them, they just wanted more and more and more. They were never really fulfilled. And a lot of this had come back to me after someone had given me like a picture. So I want to give you guys this picture. You guys can think of your hearts, or you could think of like, you know, like one of these hearts, and think of a cross-sized hole in that heart. And for a lot of us, we try to fill that cross-sized hole in our heart with money or possessions, that house, that car, all these different things, but nothing is ever going to fully fit besides Jesus Christ himself. Only Jesus can give you guys that fulfillment that you're looking for. That's like deep down in your soul. Only Jesus can fill that cross-sized hole in your heart. And I think that he does this for a reason. Jesus is looking at our hearts, wanting to change our hearts and our character, because those things are far more valuable than anything we could have in this world. And for point two, we're gonna touch on this story a little bit still. But point two for you guys is that greed destroys. We'll go to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27 says, "The greedy bring ruin to their households, but the one who hates bribes will live." And I think Pastor Claire touched on it a few weeks ago, but the book of Proverbs does not like hold back on harsh language, right? This is saying the greedy will bring ruin to their households. It is not holding back. It is showing us the full truth. And I think it's important for us to see as well that not only is the book of Proverbs telling us this, not only is the Old Testament telling us this, but we see verses to be true in the New Testament as well. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 to 10 says, "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." We see it all throughout the Bible. It's not holding back on the truth. The pursuit of riches leads to temptation, and it's a trap that launches us into destruction. And it says that ultimately the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's saying that greed can only lead us to bad things. It's saying that it's just the root as well, and that it's going to continue to grow and grow and grow into more evil things. Have any of you guys ever heard of the Aesop fables? I feel like no one's going to have heard of that. You've heard of that. Dude, that is amazing. The Aesop fables, yes, perfect, thank you. You guys will probably know it. You've heard of probably like the tortoise and the hare or the boy who cried wolf. The Aesop fables are all these kind of like childhood stories that you hear growing up. And one of them is actually the dog and the bone. And it talks a little bit about greed. And so I'm not the best storyteller, but if you guys could, you know, do this with me, you could close your eyes or keep them open. But I'm going to try to give you a little bit of a picture into what the dog and the bone is teaching us. And so this story starts by giving you guys a dog. You could picture a golden retriever, a pit bull, or your dog at home. And he's given a bone. And as he has a bone in his mouth, he decides he's going to go down by the lake. And he looks into the water, and what he doesn't know is that he sees his reflection. But the dog actually thinks it's another dog, and the greed in him starts to build up a little bit because he thinks that the other dog's bone is bigger than his. So he's like, "I want that bone. That one is bigger, and it is better than the one I have." And so in the process of him realizing this, he drops his bone into the lake and goes to grab the other bigger, better bone that he thought was there, just to find out that it was his reflection all along. But in the process, he dropped his bone in the water and he lost it. His desire was to get something that was bigger and better than what he had. He wasn't satisfied with what he had. And not only that, he lost everything that he had. You guys, if you had your eyes closed, you could open them now. But greed, right, even in this story, it's a temptation, a trap that leads us to make foolish decisions, and it always ends in ruin. We see that greed destroys. We saw those contracts on the screen. Who would say they want that fully guaranteed contract? No shame. You guys could raise your hand. No shame. I was right there with you guys. We see, right, that like Ohtani got one, Mahomes got one. You guys learned today that Juan Soto got one. Messi got one. He didn't win the World Cup, but, you know, he's got, like, all that money, so I'm sure he's fine. But everyone deep down kind of wants that. I think it's that desire, though, that begins to crush us from the inside out. And we saw that it leads to ruin. And this will lead us to point number three. But point number three is that money does not provide security. As you guys get older, I hope that you're not already telling yourself this lie, but as you guys get older, you're going to tell yourself this lie that if you just get a little bit more money, then everything's going to be fine and you won't have to worry about anything. But then you actually get to that amount and you're like, well, now it's like $500 more than it was before, or $1,000 more than it was before. And it's just this cycle that continues and continues. But I think that the book of Proverbs in chapter 11, verse 28, teaches us something just right along these lines. So you guys can go to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. And it says, "Those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf." Right? We cannot put our trust into money. It says we will fall. We'll crumble. We're not going to be able to be held upright by money. And don't get me wrong. Money is a necessary thing. I wish we could go back to like 5,000 years ago and I could just say like, David, I will trade you this if you give me a sheep. But that's just not the way that society is anymore. But I feel like we need to begin looking more at, okay, it's necessary, but where do we begin to cross the line? Where is it going too far? Is it when we're relying on it? Is it when we have that desire to just want more and more and more and more? Where is it that we're crossing the line? And we see that our greed leads us to that destruction that I'm going to keep coming back to, and it leaves us there with nothing. Like I said, it's necessary. Money is a wonderful tool, but it is a really bad God. It's a really bad God. I want to give you guys a statistic. Did you know that 10 people win the Powerball every year? You guys, well, actually, raise your hand if you even know what the Powerball is. Okay. If you guys don't, it's like the lottery. But 10 people win the Powerball every year, and the average person wins about $150 million. $150 million. 2 years ago, someone won about $2 billion. Yeah. So for these 10 people every year, they're winning anywhere between $150 million to $2 billion. Did you guys also know that out of those 10 people, 3 of them end up declaring bankruptcy? And out of those 3, all 3 of them end up doing it within 3 to 5 years after they won the lottery. We're talking about $150 million to $2 billion gone, just like that, in 3 to 5 years. But it shows us that we can think money would make us stable or secure, but that greed leads us to reckless decisions, it leads us to overspending, and ultimately we're left with nothing. 3 out of 10 people in just 3 to 5 years. And now I know all 3 of these points have probably been a lot. You guys are like, dang, the book of Proverbs must be like really negative because we've only talked about greed and how horrible money is. But I promise you, it's more than that. And the last one is going to show that very much so. And your guys' point 4 is that if we give, we gain more. Give and gain more. You guys can flip right over to Proverbs 11, 24, 25. It's probably on the same page that we were just at. But Proverbs 11, 24, and 25 says, "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." When we give, and we give freely, we gain even more. We prosper. We're refreshed, it says. And I want to make it clear, when we give, it does not necessarily mean that we're going to, you know, give $100 and get $300 back. That's not what the book of Proverbs is teaching us. It's instead teaching us that when we give, we'll be able to find the Lord's joy, we'll be able to find the Lord's peace, and we'll be able to find eternal blessings. It talks about storing treasures in heaven by being generous. And these are gains that you can't put like a dollar amount on, because they have infinite value both here on earth and in heaven. And again, I want to make it really clear. This isn't just Proverbs telling us. This is true all over the New Testament. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, and Acts chapter 20, verse 35. We're going to look at both those. They'll be on the screen for you guys. But 2 Corinthians 9, 6 says, "Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously." And then Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" The focus of both of these verses is that it is a blessing to give. It's a blessing to be generous, and that those who do so will reap generously. And this does not mean that if we give financially, like I said, we're not going to be receiving necessarily money in return. That's not the deal here. The focus is first to give, and that the Lord will choose the way that he blesses us. It's going to be really funny, but to help you guys see this, I need someone to come up here. Okay, I saw Brayden's hand right away. Brayden, please come up. Woo! Yeah, you guys can give Brayden a round of applause. Okay, the funny part is, I brought an apple for this illustration. I don't know where the apple is now. So, Brayden, please use this trolley gummy, and this is an apple. What is this? It's an apple. Brayden, here's your apple. How many apples do you have? You have one apple. Brayden, if you ate this apple, you threw it away, and it was all for yourself, how many people would this apple satisfy? One person. Let's say, and you could even picture the trolley gummy worms, are seeds. You know, it's still an apple. But the trolley gummy worms are seeds. Brayden, if you went and planted those seeds and it sprouted a tree or a few, how many people do you think you could satisfy now? More than one. That's a great answer. We could maybe even everyone here could maybe have an apple or a trolley gummy. We'll just have to plant it afterwards and see if it works. But what we're trying to show here is that Brayden could choose to keep this to himself and he would satisfy himself, or Brayden could choose to make one generous act and plant this apple and grow many apple trees, and we would be able to satisfy many people. What we're trying to see here is that all it takes is one generous act. You give, and we can gain so much more. Can everyone give Brayden a round of applause? We'll let you keep the apple. The apple. It kind of worked with the trolley gummy worms as seeds. But what we're trying to see here is that we can choose to keep all of the things that God has given us, and it would be enough to satisfy ourselves, or we could choose to generously give one generous act of the things that God has given us, and it would bless multiple. It's a multiplying effect. It just continues and continues and continues. The book of Proverbs teaches us that we are not supposed to allow money and greed to control our lives, and we're not supposed to find security in it, but we're instead called to give to others and to God, because he's able to do so much more with it than we could ever even imagine. If we give, we gain more. And from what I heard earlier, some of you guys are already working, which is amazing. But I also understand a lot of you guys aren't. And so what I want you guys to think of for generosity could even be something like, that could be sharing your faith. I think the greatest thing that you could give to someone is the knowledge of Jesus himself. That could be just giving your time to someone that is in need, or even just saying, hey, I'm really good at this, and it sounded like you need some help, and I just want to help you. It could look so different for each one of you guys. But I want you guys to think of this question, and I think you have some open space at the bottom of your notes as well to even write down if you have something that comes to mind. But the question is, what can you guys give today? Like I said, write it down if you guys have it, the space at the bottom. It doesn't have to be a number. It doesn't have to be financial. It's going to look different for everyone. But I think it's ultimately important for us to see this very last thing, is that Jesus gave. Jesus gave up comfort. He gave up freedom in heaven to come down for us. He gave up his life. He gave us his blood, and he gives us grace daily. He gives, and he gives, and he gives. And our response to him should also be generosity. The fully guaranteed contract that the Lord offers us, it's already signed, and it's on your guys' table now to sign. He says that those that are generous will receive his favor, they'll receive his presence, and they'll receive his care for anyone that could trust him enough to live generously. Let's pray, and then we're going to head to life group. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the way that you give to us daily, God. And I just ask that whatever it is that's on our hearts and on our mind that you're just leading us to, that we would be able to share that with a friend or a family member, or even a stranger, God. That you would just take us from a posture of feeling nervous to a posture of action, Lord. And we just ask that you would remove greed from our hearts and our minds and fill it with your generosity, God. We pray this all in your son's holy name. Amen.